The Washington Post has just endorsed State Senator Frank Wagner as their Republican choice for governor in the primary on Tuesday, saying he has the right experience and temperament for the job. He joins WFIR anchor and reporter Gene Marano and I live on the phone this morning. Senator Wagner, good morning to you, sir. We appreciate you taking the time, Senator, to join us this morning. We know you're busy, busy time coming up. Senator, let's get right to it. How frustrating is it for you, considering you also have 25 years as a state legislator and that you can't gain more traction in the polls? And how do you win next Tuesday over Ed Gillespie and Corey Stewart?
Well, let's first step back and look. I mean, the last five polls that came out, I'm not sure I want to be the leader because they all have one thing in common. They all lost their races. So what we're seeing on the internet, what we're seeing everywhere we go, what we're seeing in military veterans organizations across the state is support for me. And I'm getting a lot of calls, a lot of people coming over from Gillespie saying, I thought I was for him, but I found out I'm for you. And we're seeing that all over the state. So, you know, that poll that everybody hangs their hat on was 230 people done almost a month ago. You know, 230 people statewide. You know, Eric Cantor had himself up 30 points in his primary race, and he lost to David Bratt. Nobody picked Donald Trump, that's for sure. So we don't hang our hats on polls. What we do is get our message out, our positive message. And what people are finding is exactly what the Washington Post came to a conclusion. They said by a country mile, he is the more principled of the two of the candidates running for governor by a country mile. And, you know, we stick to our principles, and we talk to issues, and we talk honestly with voters about honest issues. We don't promise them pie in the sky type things like Gillespie and Corey Stewart are doing, because quite frankly they're unachievable, and it's not in my ilk to lie to voters, and that's exactly what they're doing. It might be a harsh term, but that's exactly what they're doing, and they're drawing wrong conclusions from what they're saying, and they're trying to get the voters to buy it. And you know what, the voters aren't buying it, and that's what I'm hearing.
Morning, Senator. This is Gene Marano. Primary turnout historically is pretty low. I mean, is that one of the keys for you here? Is a stronger primary turnout maybe than usual?
Absolutely, and we feel very positive. You know, our message about the only candidate, and quite frankly, Democrat or Republican, is talking about transportation in Northern Virginia is me. The other candidates don't even understand the situation and the problems that we face in transportation. I chair the Transportation Subcommittee on the Finance Committee. I deal with this stuff every day in terms of funding transportation, and I know what's going on, and I know the kind of investments we need to make here in Virginia.
Well, let's talk about that. I'm sorry. I wanted to ask you about that, Senator. You've actually proposed a gas tax hike, which is sort of something that the elephant in a room that a lot of legislators don't do. But talk about that a little bit and just how you think it's time maybe to think about that.
Well, absolutely. And yeah, first, let's look at our competing states, Maryland and North Carolina. North Carolina has a gas tax more than double ours. Ours is around 15 cents a gallon. Theirs is the 34 cents a gallon. So they have the money to make the investment in the infrastructure in their state. And quite frankly, they're proposing new interstate highway systems, things we can't even dream of here in Virginia because we don't have the revenues to do it. And I ask a simple question. Do you feel we have a transportation network adequate for the economy we have today? And most folks are the same ilk I am that say, no, we don't. Well, how are you going to grow and diversify the economy in Virginia if you don't make a bigger investment in transportation? But then I tell people, go to gasbuddy.com and look at the comparable prices of gas in North Carolina and Virginia. What you're going to find out is they're virtually the same. So somewhere in the middle, the wholesalers, retailers, somebody's taking the money in because the market will charge what the market can bear for gasoline. It's virtually very, very similar to our gas taxes, and that's in Maryland, too. So if we're not prepared to make these critical investments, here's the alternative. You have to put up tolls, which means you're going to put up $2 for a dollar worth of road, a dollar to get the road built, and you're going to give a dollar to Wall Street to finance the road. I think that's the wrong way to go, and I think we're heading down a wrong direction. And we've got to make these critical infrastructure investments if we're going to build out Virginia. We have to make the same investments in broadband. And I'll tell you something else, and I'm the only one talking about this, is career technical education. Every business I've gone to around Virginia, I ask them, what's your biggest problem? And they don't say anything about taxes. They don't say anything. They do mention regulation. I can talk about that at length. But what they say is, I can't find technical help. I have plenty of jobs available today. I cannot find the technical help to fill these jobs. Well, I don't blame the job creators. We've got to look at our education system, and that's why I propose as early as middle school, starting down another road for schools to get accreditation called Standards of Achievement, which builds towards a career in technical education. And it starts at the middle school and gets young folks interested in some of these very high-paying technical jobs. Quite frankly, these jobs pay more than what a college graduate can expect, even if a college graduate can find a job nowadays, which far too many college graduates are coming home with, you know, $30,000, $40,000 in debt and no job prospects. And I want to fill these jobs that are here in Virginia. These are high-paying jobs. They're certainly not dead end. I know a whole lot of what I call blue-collar millionaires, folks that never went to college, have made a fortune using their skilled trades and building a business off of it. So this is what it's going to take to revitalize. It would be my goal to have Virginia, the state that 49 other states come to and say, wow, what are you doing here? We need to replicate this. And, you know, we have a state championship in football. We have state championship basketball, you know, cheerleading, debate. Who's the state champion welder? Who's the best welder in high school? Who's the best brick mason? Who's the best computer coder? You know, who's the best of these? And let's have these kids start bringing home trophies. Remember, I've worked in shipyards all my life. I've owned shipyards. I've worn a hard hat for the last 35 years after I got out of the Navy. And I have the deepest respect and admiration for the people that work with their hands, the people I worked with every day. They do what I can't do, and I respect that. And, you know, it's time we start looking at those things and really building respect for those that work with their hands.
We're speaking with Republican State Senator Frank Wagner, candidate for governor, Virginia. And, Senator, you've also said that tax cuts proposed by your opponents, Ed Gillespie and Corey Stewart, are irresponsible in light of the Commonwealth's current budget situation. Can you talk about that just a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. But, you know, we just closed we cut $1.5 billion out of the budget not more than 4 months ago. And I'm on the Finance Committee. I'm one of the budget negotiators. So I know the tough decisions we had to make. We raided the Rainy Day Fund to do that. The Rainy Day Fund is supposed to be at $2.4 billion. It's there for a recession. We have less than $300 million in the Rainy Day Fund. We have a retirement system, Virginia retirement system, is $18 billion with a B. Dollars actuarially unsound at this point in time. You know, we have these kind of fiscal issues that got to be dealt with before we can start looking at income tax cut. Believe me, as much taxes as I'd pay, I'd love to have an income tax cut. But quite frankly, we don't want to leave Virginia's finances in a shambles. We just had S&P, while they kept our AAA bond rating, they downgraded us to a negative watch because of the things I just told you about. We've got to address these. So your definition of conservative, some people's might be, cut income taxes, I don't care what the consequences are. My definition of a conservative is someone who pays their bills, puts money for a rainy day, and we'll have one. We'll have a recession eventually. Puts money away for a rainy day and makes sure that the retirement systems and those accounts are paid so that they don't fall back on our children and grandchildren. Have to figure out how to deal with it. That's my definition of a conservative. That's the way I ran a business, and that, quite frankly, is the way the state government ought to be run.
We're talking with State Senator. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go on. No. I mean, I talk about those things, but I tell folks, I said, look, you all, the voters of Virginia, you're the shareholders of Virginia, and there's three resumes in front of you. You got Corey Stewart, lawyer, you know, and running around, whatever his issues are. And then you have Ed Gillespie, made millions of dollars. Millions of dollars as a lobbyist up in D.C. I'll give him credit, worked in the White House for some time, you know, head of RNC, you know, those kinds of things. And then you have myself, someone who served in the military, was a Naval Academy graduate, hard hat diver, someone who started business from scratch, built it to 100 people, bought another business, built it from 25 to 140 people, and someone with 25 years of experience. The voters of Virginia, you're hiring somebody to run Virginia. Honestly, ask yourself, which resume would you pull out of the pile first for a job interview? And I believe you pull my resume out first. And if you feel that way, then you need to vote for Frank Wagner this Tuesday coming up.
All right. We're talking State Senator Frank Wagner, one of the Republican candidates for governor in the primary next Tuesday. I'm Gene Marano along with Joey Self. Just a couple minutes left, Senator, so let's try to get through one or two questions. Briefly,
sure.
Where do you stand on building natural gas pipelines, i.e. the Mountain Valley or Atlantic Coast pipelines? Should they be built, and what property rights do people have?
Well, I think absolutely they need to be built, and let me tell you why. We've talked about having to diversify and grow the economy of Virginia. That's been a big issue. We've talked about it. We're far too dependent on the federal government for spending. Bringing that cheap source of natural gas in from the Utica and Marcellus shales up in Pennsylvania, eastern Ohio, West Virginia, bringing bringing that cheap gas into northern, in through Virginia and down to my neck of the woods all the way to Hampton Roads, brings that opportunity for all kinds of industry to locate here, because natural gas is a key element in many, many manufacturing processes, heat treating processes, drying processes. It's just the core that does. As we make a shift from coal-fired generation over to nat gas, we're going to need the natural gas to make up for the coal, to provide electric generation, to keep our rates low, and we have extremely competitive electric rates in the Commonwealth of Virginia. That's natural gas is what makes all that happen. And also, natural gas is a raw material. It's physically converted into many things we use every day. And that opportunity to bring those manufacturing plants into Virginia exists once we get that lower cost natural gas in here. And that, you know, what do they use natural gas? They actually physically convert it into fertilizer and many, many nylon products and other products. It's the simplest organic molecule, a methane gas is, and it can be built into a number of different things. In fact, the largest user of natural gas east of the Mississippi today is in Hopewell, Virginia. They use 50 million cubic feet a day, mm-hmm. 10 million for heating, and 40 million physically converted into fertilizer and nylon products. So those opportunities are there. And I'll tell you, we're critically short in the Virginia Natural Gas region, the company that deals with that. Mm-hmm. Last cold snap we had 2 years ago, we had 108 commercial customers, including Norfolk Naval Base, that can be curtailed at times of extreme usage. That cold snap, all 108 commercial customers were curtailed to the full extent of their contract just to keep people warm.
Hmm. Senator,
at the limit our system is right now without an additional supply of natural gas.
Okay, Senator, we've only got about 20-30 seconds left. State Senator Frank Wagner, just in a nutshell, if you win the primary and are elected governor in November, can you work on a bipartisan basis with the General Assembly? I need a short answer.
Absolutely, yeah. I know the players, both sides of the aisle. I proved I could do it when I negotiated the transportation package. And you go back and check, I'm the one who brought Democrats and Republicans together. I'm the one, even harder, to bring House and Senate members together. I've been there 25 years. I've been there just about as long as anybody else up there. I count friends on both sides of the aisle. I may not agree with my friends on the other side of the aisle, but they are friends, and I've worked with these people for the last 25 years, and I can work with them as governor. I can guarantee you that.
All right. State Senator Frank Wagner, one of the candidates for governor running in the Republican primary next Tuesday. Senator, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks so much for the time, and have a wonderful weekend.